So 3 John, beginning in verse 1 and going through the end of the letter, these are the words of our great God. The elder, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will come to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself, and we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink, but I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. Those are God's words. This letter, John writes, as you can tell, from to Gaius, who is walking in the truth, and he's rejoicing in that, which should bring about great joy to us as we see fellow Christians walking in the truth, and even if they might be seem to be more pious than we are, or however we might think that, we should not look at them with envy in our hearts, but with looking as he is called here as imitation. We ought to imitate them as they imitate Jesus Christ. In verses 5 through 8, he speaks of hospitality and charity, even the sending out of people who are preaching the gospel to others, to preach to others. And then he gives us a reason why he's writing to Gaius, because he already wrote to the church. But there was someone in that church who loved to take the first place, the preeminence, in pride when Christ is to have preeminence. And so Diotrephes didn't receive John and those with him, and those whom John sent, the letter was not received because he wanted to have preeminence. He did not want to let John have a better place in the church or be seen as better. And so we see that he calls attention, or he's going to call when he comes. He's going to call this attention to this when he comes to visit the church, that Diotrephes was speaking against the apostle with malicious words, that he was not receiving God's children. He's not those who want to receive God's children who are in the church. What did he do with them? He put them out of the church. He, in a sense, excommunicated them. And so he's like an elder who is lording over the people. And so we see the elders in the apostles' day, just as we see in our day, at times, elders lording over people and glorifying themselves over the sheep. And they try to act like a CEO. They try to act like Christ or something else of that nature. And what evil that is. He calls that evil in this passage. And he calls Gaius, verse 11, not to imitate him, but only to imitate what is good. And that's what God's children are to do, to imitate what is good, not evil. In verse 12, not only are John and others with him a good witness of this, people to imitate, but Demetrius too. And so we are called to receive as God's church here. We are called to receive all of God's children. When they go out, we are to send them out. And we are to expect that they be received by other churches. I'm not thinking that we are better than anyone else, or that we need to keep ourselves of such a small size to keep unity, or to keep what we think is right. But rather, we ought to receive all, knowing their struggles, knowing there will be struggles and possibly division or differences. As we keep growing, and we will keep growing as He wills for the glory of Christ. Especially elders, we ought to humble ourselves to receive all who would come and worship the Lord with us, not keeping God's people from coming to worship, but rather calling all of us to worship in Christ and according to His Word. And doing so, of course, humbly. Let's pray to the Lord. Our Father, we give You praise today that You have brought us to this place again to worship You. As we gather together, we're thankful for Dale being here this evening. Father, we also ask that You would, as we consider today the church, we pray that You would be sending out Your men for ministry, elders and ministers and missionaries and such. Father, even as we prayed this morning. And we pray especially for those in our presbytery this evening. We think of Elia, who has gone to that country that we know of, we won't speak of, and Andrew with him, Andrew Badiato. We ask that You would grant to them strength in the couple weeks or the 1 week they are remaining there, that they would get much accomplished, and You would give discernment to Andrew, who is a candidate for ministry, discernment of where he is called in the mission field or to being a pastor here or there, wherever You are calling him. Make that clear to him. We pray for Zach Smith, who's been ordained like a week ago and being sent to South Sudan to the mission field there and the mission that we have in the Reformed Presbyterian Church there. We ask that You would be with him and his family as they transition there and the big changes that will come about in that family, with their children. We ask that You would give them protection, but also cause them to preach the Word boldly there. Many would hear the Word and come to Christ Jesus, Your Son. We pray for those candidates in our presbytery. We think of Ramesh and Garrett Mann and then Ross Fearing, who's a minister in the PCA, who's being examined next month along with Ramesh and Garrett. We ask that You would give them the mind to study and remember what they study when they're examined, and that You would give discernment in those exams to our presbytery, the elders who meet there. We pray that You would grow them and prepare them for the ministry. We're thankful that Ram, already a ruling elder, Garrett too. So all three are already elders. We're thankful for their service to Your church already. We pray that You would be preparing them for being pastors, even perhaps church planting, which we also pray for this evening, that You would continually grow the church through planting of churches in not only our presbytery, but our denomination here in America and Canada. We ask that You would raise up more young men to do to that field of pastoring work and planting churches. We ask that You would also help supply men to those empty pulpits that we have in our presbytery. We think of those in Columbia, Missouri, Casper, Wyoming, and Oklahoma City, the church plant there. We ask that You would bring about men for those calls and for those churches to minister to the people there. Father, we do also pray for Josh. We're thankful for the letters he's been able to send and the phone call that he's been able to make with his family, with Patricia and Larry. We ask that You would uphold him. We're thankful to hear that he has worshipped at least once while he's been in training in the army. We ask that you would give him salvation in Christ your Son. We know that he has never publicly professed faith, but Father, we ask that, that would come about even in this time. Perhaps you would even supply godly men to be around him, to surround him, and that you would convict him of his sin and turn him to you. And Father, we ask for his salvation, but also protection and strength as he trains to serve our country. Father, we do pray tonight for our government. We have elections coming up, not only probably next month, but next year. Ones that oftentimes we trust in sinfully to see change come about. But yet we know, even as we'll hear this evening, that true change comes through salvation and through the gospel being proclaimed and the people obeying you. And so may we obey you in all things. And where we have sinned, Father, we turn us from our sins. We have broken your commandments, all of them. And we are guilty of all of them. And so forgive us of our sins. And we'll look at some of those sins in the sermon this evening. Father, we also pray this evening that you be with Dina and strengthen her and Jeannie. Any others who are struggling in their body, even Larry's elbow and sometimes having gout flare-ups, and pray for Lillian, and ask that you would heal her as well. Father, we ask you would bring about success those who are training for better jobs, like Lillian and like Shane. Father, give them remembrance and what they study for their exams that they take, and that you would provide for them and their families. And now, Father, as we continue worshiping you, may your name be glorified and praised, because you are the God who upholds your church, even if there be sinful elders and people who lord over others and seek to have the place of Christ. Father, we ask that you would bring them down, humble them, and bring about your truth and your word to be proclaimed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.